The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Free Talk Live.
Oh, man, this Dennis Hastert guy. So there's more here to the story from RT.com, Russia Today, reporting on Dennis Hastert, the former House of Representatives Speaker, who is now in some hot water. He's not going to be facing any molestation charges because the statute of limitations clock has run out.
But he probably should be.
On those. But he is going to be facing some possible penalty, I guess, for essentially for structuring payments and attempting to avoid cash transaction reports, which ironically, he helped to propagate this because he wanted to pass, was a big advocate for the USA Patriot Act.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to get into here with you tonight. You've got Ian.
DJ the Spy.
And Mark.
Inviting you to join us toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Or Skype into the show with your thoughts at Skype username LRN.FM. RT continues here. So what happened was, under the US Patriot Act, if you make a cash transaction to more than $10,000, a cash transaction report is filed. The story says that Hastert fell afoul of this requirement when making 15 withdrawals of $50,000 between 2010 and 2012. But I don't know why that would have, doing that isn't a crime, right?
Well, it is if your intent was in any way. So you're allowed to withdraw your money as long as you have a legitimate business reason for it.
His reason was to pay off one of his previous victims.
Remember, it's not illegal to pay hush money to people. If you say, look, you know, Ian, I know what...
Michael Jackson did it, right?
Michael Jackson did it. And,
well, Ian, it's very simple. If you make your withdrawals based on a concern for the law, then you violated the law.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, the story says that he made 15 withdrawals of $50,000. So he was over the $10,000, which means cash transaction reports were being filed, but that's not evidence of criminal activity. So what I'm wondering is what it was that made him switch from doing $50,000 withdrawals to $9,000, because that's when he got in the hot water, was when he started trying to avoid the cash transaction reports.
Yeah, when I was indicted for money laundering, my attorney said, look, I'll give you the same advice I give my drug dealing clients. If you make $2 million a month selling crack cocaine, take the cash, just put it in the bank, they'll fill out the CTR, pay your taxes, and nothing more will be made of it. If you try and get around the structuring is one of the stupidest laws ever, and it's also one that they like to enforce, because it allows them very easily to take your money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean, it's kind of awkward. I mean, imagine going to the IRS field office and saying, all right, here's $1 million in cash. But honestly, yeah, if you go down to the IRS field office in your nearest city and you say, I need to pay my income taxes, here's $1 million in cash, they'll give you a receipt, they'll fill out the CTR, and nothing more will be made of it.
That's what I understand is it's not clear from this story is, like, why did he make the decision? Did someone tell him, hey, Dennis, you know, they're filling out cash transaction reports about you? And then he decided to just start going below $10,000, which is what triggered the suspicious activity reports, which is something that put him on the radar.
Well, wait a second, TJ. Don't your lawyer fellow who's telling everybody to pay their taxes, which I'm sure, you know, that's what he's supposed to do. Drug dealers generally don't get checks or credit card transactions. Why are they depositing cash in banks in the first place?
Well, that's a thing, because sometimes, you know, like...
Well, if you've got a bunch of cash and your house catches fire, then that's a problem, right?
Well, I mean, the problem is Title 18 United States Code Section 1956 is money laundering. So the moment you take any drug dealing proceeds and put it in the bank, that's an additional crime. So a good lawyer would say, take your drug dealing cash and keep it cash, but you got to pay your taxes. So normally people, the way they pay their taxes is they put money in the bank and then write a check to the IRS, but that would be a crime to put it in the bank. So you can't have a law where we're going to make it a law you have to comply with, but not give you a legal method to comply with it. So the IRS has basically come up with a solution. If you're a drug dealer and you have $2 million in cash, You can't put it in the bank, but you still got to pay your taxes. So they will accept cash payments at their local field office, and they'll write you a receipt, and that is not a crime.
I get it, and that's what the lawyers are supposed to say. But, I mean, obviously you're setting yourselves up. If you're paying $1 million in taxes in cash, you're clearly telling the IRS and the government that you are a drug dealer. Please hunt me down.
The IRS.
But here's my point is if you've got your money in cash and Ian's concerned that your house might burn down, that sounds legitimate. There are places that you can keep money. I mean, I'm just thinking of the...
There are fireproof safes.
Well, I'm thinking of the... I mean, that fireproof safe sounds like a good idea. What about those lockers that they have at like bus stations and stuff?
Well,
where you just turn the key
stations,
in.
Bus stations are a bad idea because, you know, they got rid of those. But, yeah, like, don't put it in a safe deposit box because the U.S. Attorney's Office has ruled that putting it in a safe deposit box at an FDIC-insured bank is still money laundering.
Yeah, it's not safe from the government, that's for sure.
Well, you got to put it in a storage locker, like one of these U-Haul rental storage lockers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so things get even more entertaining here with the Hassert story. So, again, he helped pass the very law that he fell afoul of by trying to avoid the $10,000. And according to the filing, Hassert told bank officials at the time that he was, quote, aware of the law, but that the Patriot Act was just for terrorism, and he was not a terrorist.
No. It doesn't matter. That actually was a...
Oh, wait a minute. You mean you didn't read the law there, Dennis?
Yeah. Actually, there's a Supreme Court precedent. As a former professional gambler, that's the reason I had to know all these laws. But there was a USA versus Ratzlaff case, and he got off on the grounds that he knew about the law, but he didn't know it was a crime. And now they amended the law. You don't have to know that violating the law is a crime. You just have to know there's a $10,000 reporting requirement. If the government can show you knew there was a $10,000 limit at which there would be a form filed, and you, too, did something to avoid the filing of that form, that is a crime, and you can be convicted.
I'll bet people do this all the time.
Yes, of course they do.
Just average people doing average things
probably
think about this all the time because they realize that there's going to be some form filed, and they just don't want to come up on the IRS's radar.
Yeah.
Turns out that you're better off just doing whatever you were going to do in the first place.
I mean, let the cash transaction report get filed.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a remodel and you pay your contractor $20,000 and get, like, when I bought a machine gun, it was like $30,000. That I don't have here. No,
right.
Absolutely, I wouldn't have it here because I don't have the transportation letter from the ATF. It is where the ATF, I've told them it is. But when I got my MP5K full auto machine gun, it was like $30,000. And I paid in cash in $100 bills. The guy said, don't I have to fill out a form? And I said, yes. In fact, I already have a form 8300 for you filled out, pre-stamped. You filled it out to the Detroit FinCEN office. I filled in my social name, date of birth, social security number, how much I paid in cash, sent it on off, and nothing more was made of it. Now, if he would have said, hey, I'm not going to file this form. I said, you have to. If you willfully fail to file this form, especially after I told you you need to file this form, that is a crime. And as a FFL dealer, you could lose your FFL license very fast.
So he didn't say that.
He didn't say, well, he said, do I have to file it? Because I don't want the ATF to know I have a bunch of cash. They might say, well, yes, you do, because it's nothing wrong with accepting cash. It's illegal to accept cash and not tell the government you accepted the cash.
Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. More about Hassert here in moments. Brian is on the line in California via Skype. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. I had another question that applies to NAP. I was hoping if you guys could help me out.
A question that applies to NAP? You mean the non-aggression principle?
Yes.
Okay.
In particular, how it relates to self-defense. Now, everyone here endorses NAP, probably except me, right?
I think it sounds like a fine way, a fine, you know, sort of baseline for your for morality. And that means that you don't use force or fraud to achieve your means.
Aggressive
force, yeah.
Okay, so as far as aggression is concerned, it does not preclude self-defense, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Correct. You don't throw the first punch.
Okay, now would you guys consider preemptive self-defense, which is kind of contradictory, aggression?
It seems like it in most circumstances, but I smell primroses, so I'd like to hear a bit more. There's an old Roman saying, do you crush the serpent while it's in the egg or wait for it to be born and strike you? So,
exactly. Yeah. You'll have to resolve that just by looking at the definition of aggression. It fits the definition of aggression, does it not?
What does?
preemptive self-defense, which is, well, you can't really use that term.
I'm not entirely sure that preemptive self-defense can exist. I think somebody could threaten you. They could say, I am going to punch you in the face. And then at that point, I feel like they've already violated the non-aggression principle because they've projected what they are going to do. So then you could defend yourself in that way.
I don't know if you can attack somebody just because they say they're going to punch you until they're actually going to draw back and, you know, strike you. But let's continue.
Oh, well,
855-450 free. It's Free Talk Live.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. She was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using Dinovite for the last year, and Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with Dinovite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
When Dr. Lane Sebring appeared on Fox News and claimed that he could give seniors a second shot at youth, viewers were highly skeptical. But then they saw the proof. Despite being 61 years old, Dr. Sebring is still competing in martial arts competitions against guys half his age and winning. But what's even more remarkable are his lab tests that back it all up. His blood pressure checks in at a healthy 110 over 78, and his blood sugar never jumps above 70. So what's his secret? Sebring has been using a powerful green drink that he personally formulated called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens was originally created to help older guys in the military who are dealing with achy joints and stiff muscles. And for a limited time, Dr. Sebring is letting you try the drink absolutely free. All he asks is that you chip in a few bucks to help cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. Greens75.com. Greens75.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's
It's Free Talk Live. More on the Dennis Hastert situation on the way, how he attempted to avoid cash transaction reports, got him in some hot water. We'll get the some of the background story on that. It's pretty interesting from RT.com. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
TJ the Spy,
and Mark.
And want to invite you to check out 101 Reasons Why Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. There are thousands of people who love the ideas of freedom who are moving here to New Hampshire, some of them for the Free State Project, others for the Shire Society, which you can join by signing the Shire Society Declaration at ShireSociety.com. But if you're a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, and you want to be around other people who have a similar mindset as you, this is the place to be. We've got the highest concentration of people who love liberty in one place. So go to 101ReasonsFilm.com. Check out the hour-long documentary. It's free to watch on why, if you love the ideas of freedom and you really understand them and you're willing to actually work towards them, you should be here. Go to 101ReasonsFilm.com. That's 101ReasonsFilm.com. And a lot of the conversations that you'll hear among liberty-minded folks are sort of these, you know, nitpickings on the, you know, what does liberty really mean? Getting into the details on that. And Brian is on the line in California who is asking us about the non-aggression principle. Specifically, where does aggression end and self-defense sort of begin? Can you defend yourself against aggression without actually being the aggressor? Meaning that if the, you know, the person who's threatening you hasn't actually thrown the punch or pulled the gun, do you have the right to go ahead and hit first? And I think that's kind of where he's coming from on this. But TJ, did you want to jump in here?
Well, I just wanted to say, Brian, you're the only caller I have ever seen where Ian and Mark are about ready to get into a shouting match over what kind of caller you are. And I'm just going, I am not taking sides in this fight. I think you're a great caller. So go ahead.
I think Brian's an intelligent caller. And
I said, is this a medicine
unfortunately,
guy?
Unfortunately, he uses his intelligence to justify aggression. But go ahead with your thoughts.
I just think you're short-tempered. So you're causing my two friends here are actually fighting over you. So, you know, I just
it's not my fault.
It's definitely not your fault. It's Mark's fault. He's the one who is yelling.
Yeah.
It's because they're adopting a silly principle and they're trying to make reason.
What's silly about non-aggression?
First of all, were you implying that I was nitpicking?
Well, you definitely are.
Okay. But anyways, it doesn't matter.
That's pretty much what you do. Go ahead.
I really wasn't trying to. I lost focus.
Okay, you were calling about aggression, and you'd asked about, you know, defending oneself. Can you preemptively strike in self-defense? That was what you were asking about.
Let me add this thing. So, barring any explicit threat of violence, and so you're going to have to actually define, like, the line of explicit and implicit, right? So, let's just say he has a criminal history. You know, obviously, it's not in accordance with NAP to...
NAP means the non-aggression principle. You got to remember we have people listening who don't know acronyms, and so it's important.
Dozens of radio stations all over America tonight are listening. So.
Let's just spell it out instead of using the acronym, if you don't mind.
Okay, so barring any explicit threat of aggression, it violates the non-aggression principle to somehow deter him from acting, right? I mean,
For instance, I was open carrying a gun tonight to the restaurant that we were having social Sundays at, and someone asked me if it was a real gun, and I nodded that it was a real gun. If somebody was afraid that I was going to pull that gun and shoot them, would they have the right to go ahead and shoot me anyway just because they were afraid that I might do that?
So it's aggression to preemptively self-defend barring explicit threats.
I would say that for the most part, yeah, it sure is.
Well, I'm going to say that there's certain circumstances, like, for instance, if a person is, like you say, mentally ill and sitting around, say, on their porch playing with a gun. And, you know, if you're going to say that pulling the gun, that the point is pulling the gun, Ian, why not just say that it's pulling the trigger? Like, why can somebody point a gun at you? Why is it okay for somebody to point a gun at
you? It's not okay for somebody to point a gun at you.
Why isn't it okay?
Because that's a threat. That's a threat. If you're pointing a gun at someone, you have to be prepared to kill
them. This is another problem.
That's what your daddy taught you.
It's true.
Well,
that's good gun handling.
I get that it's good gun handling, but that doesn't mean that everybody who points a gun at anyone is intending to shoot them.
This is another this is a separate, totally separate problem. I wanted to bring up probably another future show, negligence, right? NAP doesn't address negligence, which is what Mark's talking about. But what I'm talking about. I'm trying to get you guys to admit, barring any explicit threat of aggression, it's wrong to and barring negligence, right?
it's wrong to initiate it's wrong to initiate force or preemptively self-defend in this case.
Well, we've all said that, but then we've kind of said, well, could you take us down the primrose path and tell us, aha, I got you.
Yeah, okay, so here's the trap.
Give me the trap.
Okay, let's bring the trap.
Bring it.
So the problem is punishment fits this definition of preemptive self-defense. The fact that self-defense only applies during the crime, and it ends right after the crime has already been committed. The only reason to punish an aggressor or an already aggressor is to deter future action or to make an example of them.
Okay.
In order to defuse future action of other potential aggressors.
Yep, that makes sense.
So you're gonna have to resolve this too. I mean, not only negligence, how does punishment fit into your free market society?
Well, I would say that punishment, if you're going to use it, and I tend to believe it's overused in our...
I support restitution rather than, you know, locking someone up.
Well, that's the whole point.
Hold on. Restitution's... It's important to note that if somebody comes and... Like, if I hold a gun on you and I take $500 from you,
yeah,
that's different than me bumping your car and creating $500 worth of damage. Would you not agree?
Sure.
That a person who holds a gun on you and takes $500 from you should have to pay you more money than a person who dings your car for $500 worth of damage.
Yeah.
So
here's why this thinking is statist in nature. Right? Now put yourself on a two-man island, right? Just you and your aggressor. He takes your $500. What does it, and let's just put a three-man island, your room, right?
Of course, your money's useless at that point. But let's go with a ridiculous example.
Fine. It's fine. Whatever.
It's not ridiculous.
Yes, okay, it is. And that's usually what you have to do to make a point against him, non-aggressive.
I have an argument why these extremes aren't. So Mark steals $500 from Ian. And what's the name of the other guy? Third guy?
TJ.
TJ the Spy.
Okay. So who's going to, if Mark can't get the $500 back from himself, what does it mean to say that Ian deserves to get punished? And so that puts like a somewhat of a implicit obligation on TJ to help Mark get that $500 back. You see how status this is? You lose sense of cost of punishment because it's distributed so dispersely over the rest of society. But when you put it on the three-man island, you see the absurdity here, right?
Well, you're putting necessarily it should be wrought by the by society. So if you're saying prison, it is. I understand that it is. However, if you, I could very easily take who's the thief here, Ian, and put him in jail, and he could do work in jail that would generate enough money to pay for his own care and that sort of thing. If he chose not to work, then he could face the gaping maw of starvation.
Again, your ability is it's not guaranteed that the victim has that ability, right? So what does that mean in that case?
Starvation?
Slow, for you, right?
Painful death in a prison cell?
What does Knapp do in this case?
Hold on, Mark. Are you giving an example on the island or in current society?
I'm
lost completely on where, you know, we're switching like back for between the island and real society. Where?
What he's saying is
we're applying Knapp here. We're applying Knapp.
The non-aggression principle. Hold that thought, Brian. I'm still. What got me lost, Mark, was he was bringing up this island thing, and then you started talking about locking
someone up. There's no prison on the island. I'm sorry, I couldn't keep his analogy up.
Okay, all right. So you were switching back to the real
world. By the bell.
I mean, you could have made a prison out of some bamboo shoots and, you know, had some monkey guards or something like that. I mean, let's get ridiculous here, because that's what you have to do to, you know, to indict the non-aggression principle. 855-450-FREE.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, molds, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. You're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Farmington, New Mexico, Thursday, May 12th at 7 p.m. Go to www.cdocinfarmington.com. That's www.cdocinfarmington.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Live, you can join us on the radio waves here. The toll free number is 855-450-FREE. Live Sunday edition of the program. With you in studio, it's Ian.
TJ the Spy.
And Mark.
And we've also got Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm. We're going to go back to Skype, and then we'll talk more about what's going on with Dennis Hastert, the former Speaker of the House, who is in some hot water over some alleged molestations that happened while he was a teacher and wrestling coach in Illinois from RT. We'll get back into that. But first, we're going back to Brian, who is in California. He's brought up the question of the non-aggression principle, and specifically going after someone who commits aggression, someone who commits a criminal act against another person.
Right.
It sounded like he said that he believes that punishment further, after, you know, not in the moment but later on, if you go catch the criminal later, is an act of aggression. And I'd like to say that here's why I don't think that's the case. Even though I'm not an advocate for the punishment model, I'm an advocate for restitution, though some people could call that punishment. I don't think someone should be put in a prison cell if they're willing to restitution. restitute their victims. But ultimately, if you do some damage to someone, whether you hurt them personally or you take their property, then you are in debt to that person by that amount plus some for their, you know, the difficulty of what you've created and,
that's,
you know,
punitive
frustrations. So the idea is that because you're in debt to that person, or the criminal is in debt to that person, you have, as the victim, the right to the to that restitution, which means that you should be able to get that restitution in whatever way is necessary.
That, first, that's inconsistent, right? You added interest, which is punitive. That's a deterrent.
It's because you've wasted my time. Okay, so it's not just that you stole my whatever it was. You stole my car.
So,
you've also made it so I can't go to
aggression.
Work.
You're forcing him to pay for restitution.
You can call it aggression if you want to, but I don't think most people would see it that way.
I don't think you've. And by the way, Brian, I'm going to say thank you so much for this call. It's been a while since I've had a really good sort of call that's made me think about something, and I appreciate that. But there's no what you haven't made your case for is why a person who, say, robs somebody for $500 at gunpoint should only have to pay $500 back. The fact is that we humans, who have sort of agreed on what rights are and what ownership is and all that other stuff, we come to these conclusions. We also have come to the conclusion that somebody who commits a criminal act versus a civil act, that a person who commits a criminal act should receive some kind of punishment. And you have not made your case to why a punishment is, in fact, aggression.
I thought I did with the island example. Okay, so when it comes to just restitution, if the victim cannot get it back himself, there's no reason why society should get it back for him unless he produces more than unless he provides more value to society as being a part of it, right? So I have an explanation for restitution, but you guys don't using NAP, right? There's
but
no reason
the non-aggression principle.
On the Three Man Island, why would TJ help Mark get his $500 back?
Because he wants help in the future.
Well, for the same reason that I actually, in high school, I helped the captain of the football team with his math homework so he would protect me from the other bullies. So I was under his protection. I help him with his calculus homework. He, in exchange, protects me from getting beaten up in the hallways.
Yeah,
that's rational, but you understand here, you're talking about a reciprocation here. You must receive at least more value than it expends to get.
Correct.
To,
that is a fundamental. If it wouldn't have been worth more to me, I wouldn't have done it.
That's a condition that always has to be met. Sometimes it cannot be. That's not a guarantee. The condition of getting restituting the victim is not guaranteed to overcome the cost of doing so. And this is the problem. This is the problem that NAP doesn't address. I address it because I believe in free market principles. I believe in exchange and. It doesn't make sense to
but
always.
It sounds like you're making the presumption that we're advocating that society as a whole has to pay for prisons. Have you said that? Is that what your presumption is?
I'll say that again.
It sounds like you're making the presumption that we believe that society as a whole should have to pay for prisons.
You assume that.
No,
and you take it for granted.
No, you're the one assuming that. I do not assume that.
No, I don't. I don't.
You assume that about us, sir.
Do I endorse restitution all the time?
I don't know much about you, Brian.
No, I don't. Obviously, I don't. Of course,
he hasn't profited.
Only when it's profitable. Only when it's profitable to restitute. So, for instance, when society is going to consider restitution for a victim, it looks at the victim and says, "Is this guy worth it?" Because we want him a part of our team.
They do that all the time because they'll a guy, King Police Department. This guy's a dirtbag. We're not going to look for the criminal really hard. Or this guy is really popular. We're going to.
There's two reasons, right? There's two reasons, first, why you go after the criminal. First, one, deterrence. And number two, you want to keep the victim as a citizen of your society. But those two conditions don't necessarily mean that it's worth the cost of doing so. So the case when it's rationally rational to do so is when one eclipses the other. When it's profitable.
You're presuming that we support society as it is, and we don't. I think that was the point that Mark was trying to make to you.
I'm saying
change to society. And further, if you're buying insurance, then you are paying for a certain level of protection, even if it's not so-called worth it as well. And a lot of people would be interested in insuring themselves.
Well, I would have loved to have had
bully insurance. Thanks for the call.
I would have loved to have had bully. Like, there's two types of exchanges, and only two types of exchanges, voluntary and involuntary. And so, example of the exchange I made in high school, I thought it was voluntary because I didn't want to get beaten up, and I
wouldn't call it voluntary.
Well, I mean, it was voluntary. My protector and I entered into a voluntary agreement.
Yes.
He was not forcing me. He didn't say, you help me with my calculus homework or my buddies are going to beat you up. It was, hey,
but
you're
the
captain
of the
football team. You're really popular. I know you're having trouble with your homework. I am getting harassed by some of your friends.
You approached him.
I approached him. And he said, you know, you seem like a nice guy. You're kind of nerdy, but, you know, there's, I mean, I said, I understand if you come out as my friend, that would create havoc for you. You're a politician. You got to block your friends versus. And so I said, well, look, I'm sure we can come to a quiet agreement where I'll help you with your homework. And I'm not going to tell anybody about this agreement because that would cause
until
you to
now.
Social until now. And
well, much later, who cares?
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, he was not forcing me to engage in the agreement. I was not forcing him. We both came to an agreement. He would use his political influence with the fellow bullies to say,
hey, leave him alone.
Leave him alone. He's helping me. Or leave him alone. He's not a great guy.
Yeah.
So what happens when you have a person who is totally unpopular? I say, well, this is the problem with public schools. Why are people being forced to go there? Like a good example, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, one of the reasons they initiated that massacre, according to their own
Columbine.
Words, Columbine High School massacre, in their own words, they said the jocks were beating us up and bullying us.
That's what they said.
And we wanted to exact revenge. And I thought, you know, boy, if only I could go back and said, you know, guys, maybe you could pay the bullies money to not beat you up. Or maybe you could pay me and I would go break the kneecaps. I mean, there's all kinds of solutions to your problems that don't involve you committing an act of violence. I mean, I could. That's the thing. Is like, goodness, I wonder if I could actually offer protection services. Like, are you a kid that gets beaten up in high school? Well, for $30 a month, I'll go and talk to your aggressors and say, you know, it would really be a shame if your kneecaps got broken. And is that wrong? I said, well,
if your kids are having that problem in school, you should get them out.
I
like that's a fail. That's a failure of parenting,
yes.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, I say, why did we force the bullies? Why did we force the jocks and the Derek and Dills? Why were they being forced to come into conflict with each other?
Because of the state.
Like, yeah. If one could have been like, hey, I'm not coming to school anymore. I don't want to be around these people.
I always
people.
Love the Onion headline from September 8th, 1999. Columbine jocks safely resume bullying.
So, it's funny. So, I would like to address sort of what I believe as far as punishment. I think restitution is really the best method. Throwing somebody in jail generally isn't particularly helpful, and it
could make them a worse criminal because they're around a bunch of criminals.
Now, there are some people who are dangerous, right? Like, they just keep doing dangerous things over and over.
Psychos, for instance.
Those people probably need to be separated physically from society. So I'm not against prisons from that standpoint. But I think that, you know, that people that are in prison probably should be paid a, you know, what they're worth to do whatever work they do. And that they can then pay their rent while they're at the prisons. I mean, that this is, there's a way to do these things. I don't expect life to be really great for them there. But if they're too dangerous to be, you know, released into society, then that's where they've got to be.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. What does free market justice look like? Free Talk Live.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-718-3929. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-718-3929. That's 1-800-718-3929. 1-800-718-3929.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works.
Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! Hey, it's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the show. You can join us here. We'll talk more about Dennis Hastert and the alleged molestation and cash transaction reports, suspicious activity reports, and what exactly got him caught. 855-450-FREE is our toll-free number. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
DJ the Spy.
And Mark.
And we've got Skype. Our Skype username is LRN.FM. If you support Free Talk Live, please become a Free Talk Live amplifier today. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is $5 a month is what you can send into Free Talk Live via any major credit card through PayPal. You can use Visa or MasterCard. And you can also send us Bitcoin as well. And we can actually invest that $5 a month into the show, helping us get on more radio stations around the country, bringing more internet listeners on board so we can talk about the ideas of freedom with more new listeners and help spread those ideas because they're darn valuable. And more people need to hear about it. So you get perks, too, like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group. Go get the details. Get signed up over at amp.freetalklive.com, ampamp.freetalklive.com. Bruce is on the line in North Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, guys. I'm kind of going off topic here, but I was listening to your discussion and your answering. I was wondering how you guys feel about the your personal carry license.
The CCW, concealed carry weapon permit?
If you have PTSD.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it gets difficult.
The question is, should someone with this be allowed to carry a gun? Is that what you're saying?
That's the question, because there's so many veterans that have...
Right, there are. And this is a really difficult question to answer and one that I simply cannot, because I have met a person in my life, more than one person in my life, that I believe to be too mentally ill to be allowed to have a weapon. Have you met a person like that?
I'm sorry. I was changing off the getting rid of the old radio. What did you say? You met a person?
I've met a person who was too mentally ill to have a, in my opinion, to possess a firearm. Have you ever met a person that you felt was that mentally ill?
Come on, you only met one?
No, right, I met many. and so that leaves me with, I believe I am capable of judging who should be able to have a gun and who shouldn't. However, when you turn that over to the government, we can see historically, well, slippery slope's a fallacy, but we can see historically.
This is a slippery slope where you let someone else decide who shouldn't be able to have firearms. All of a sudden, you get more and more people are right. in that category.
Suddenly, nobody's allowed to have a gun because everybody's crazy. And I do, in fact, believe everybody is crazy. So now we have...
Well, the DSM could probably diagnose someone with something, for sure.
That's the diagnostic statistics. See, I'm going to use your same logic. The Diagnostic Statistics Manual, 5th edition, that's the official list of all psychiatric diseases. Not everybody knows that, Ian.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
In fact, in Soviet Russia, they did such a thing. They would just classify people mentally ill, send them off to Siberia or whatever to get them out of the way. People are claiming that this is what's going on in California right now around guns, that basically they're just calling everybody crazy and taking their guns away. So
right.
I don't have a good answer for you. I'm only saying that some people are too crazy to have a gun, but it's but the government's not the agency, in my opinion, to make that decision.
Fair enough.
Did you have any thoughts? You
got any thoughts,
Bruce?
You want to enlighten us?
Well, no, I'm a vet. I'm from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Listed with severe PTSD. And it still bothers me quite a bit, and I have a license to carry, a concealed license, and
Do you feel you're a danger to your other people or yourself by having a gun?
No way.
Okay.
No way. As a matter
so there's
of fact,
not a chance that you'll hear some firecrackers going off, think you're back in
the DMZ,
in Nam,
in the
and pull your gun and start blasting at innocent civilians?
As long as they don't have black pajamas.
I would count that unbelievably unlikely.
Good.
It's not that part of PTSD.
Gotcha.
If it were to happen, I could drive my car into somebody.
Yeah,
I support just allowing people to, make decisions for themselves, and then the more people that are armed, the more safe we'll all be in case someone does go nuts. If more people around that person are armed, then the nuts person will only get so far.
Well, I'm not particularly... Go ahead.
I'm just worried that I think, the president is kind of trying to look that way for some reason, before he gets out of office, to do something about the Second Amendment. And
you think so?
I think so. I know he's talked about it, to get some kind of... Not to get rid of the Second Amendment, but to really, let's say, not be on the side of gun holders.
Now, wouldn't he need Congress to go along with him on that?
No, he can do enforcement. He can make enforcement more strict or whatever in certain circumstances.
Actually, it's also, I know in Illinois where you need a firearm owner ID card in order to purchase a firearm. And
you don't want to be a gun owner in Illinois. It sounds like
I don't think you can be a gun owner in Illinois.
Well, I mention that because if you have been voluntarily committed, so not involuntarily committed, but voluntarily committed to any psychiatric institution, so you go and say, look, I'm a danger to myself or others, please commit me, you are ineligible for 5 years to purchase a firearm or possess a firearm. So, of course, if you're having trouble with depression, PTSD or anything, it really is a bar to you getting help if you're in a crisis mode. So not all mentally ill people are created equal. Some people are mildly mentally ill where I feel perfectly fine having a firearm. But other people, when the mental illness progresses and they have an episode where they truly become broken and lose touch with reality, those people need to go to the hospital. It's very embarrassing. People don't want to say, I wound up in the loony bin. But it's something that's very important to not be ashamed of. I mean, some people, there's nothing wrong with being mentally ill. There seems to be this great stigma in this country that if you have a mental illness, that you're a bad person or you're feeble. What it's really, honestly, some people, for whatever reason, your brain doesn't work correctly, and it's okay to ask for help. There should be nothing wrong with asking and saying, look, I can't control my thoughts or actions, and I need help. And unfortunately, the laws, as the way they're written, mentally ill people, they're like, oh, you were in the loony bin, you're dangerous. No, mentally ill does not mean dangerous. It just means they've lost something that we humans have, the ability to tell reality from fantasy.
And it can be temporary. Try staying up for 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, see what happens.
And
you shouldn't be in possession of a gun if that's that's the case. Hey, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for listening to us in Asheville on WWNC. Toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE.
Because I'm a felon, I am legally disallowed from having handguns. And they don't.
You can have a BB gun, though, right?
Yes, I could have a BB gun for hemming varmints and things like that.
Yep.
I do have an air rifle, but I don't carry it around.
And you could carry a like a really old gun, like a
black powder rifle.
Pistol or something.
I couldn't,
right?
Not in this state.
Really?
No, and the only way that you can carry it is if you're going to, say, target practice or for a reenactment.
You can't just
or something.
Carry it around.
No, you can't. Just open carry a black powder.
You know, there really needs to be a market for convict. There's so many convicted felons now, and they need to have a way to defend themselves. I would love to have a firearm that is not a firearm. It's maybe instead of using explosive black powder or gunpowder, it uses, say, compressed air. So like a
Benjamin,
baseball.
Yeah, the Benjamin Bulldog 357. Look that up. It is a air rifle that holds.
Isn't that thing that shoots like a 50 cal or something like that?
Well, in this case, it's 357.
Okay,
it shoots a 357 yes. round.
BB.
A third.
A 357 BB?
Of an inch. It's not a BB. It's a pellet.
Okay, pellet.
And it has a, basically, like a revolver, a wheel gun, wheel in it, and it holds five pellets, and so you have a repeating air rifle that will...
CO2?
Yeah, no, it's not CO2.
Pump.
You could pump it if you wanted to. You're going to pump a long time.
Yeah.
It is filled up with a scuba tank.
Oh, wow, that's badass.
Yeah, so it's it'll put a round out at about, I don't want to quote it at this point, but...
Do you have to strap the scuba tank to your back, or no. Do you actually attach it to the gun?
It has a little tank in it, and you equalize it through the scuba tank.
Huh.
So, anyway, there's things like that. But I'm uncomfortable around handguns. They just bother me a little bit, especially other people with handguns. However, being here in the Free State Project, having moved almost 10 years ago now...
There's people with guns everywhere.
People have guns all the time. And I've noticed over time I'm getting more and more comfortable with the notion. And I haven't seen, up to this point, really anything that... you know, makes me too scared.
Yeah, let's go to Tom. He's in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, TJ, and Mark. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Be careful with the air guns. In Baltimore, for instance, local law forbids you from having any type of air rifle.
No fun allowed in Baltimore.
You can have a 357 Magnum in your house, but you can't have a BB gun like you're talking about.
Wow. Really? Yeah, that's dumb.
Absolutely. Anyway, I wanted to talk about what you were discussing earlier about the non-aggression principle. And
I want you to talk about that, but when you have time, stand by. We're going to bring you into hour number three, more with Tom in Maryland. Also, more about Dennis Hastert. How did he end up getting in hot water over these suspicious activity reports and the alleged molestations from when he was a teacher and a coach, apparently a wrestling coach, in high school in Illinois? 855-453 allows you to join us live on Sunday.
Free Talk Live is having a huge sale on ads. If you have a local business, contact this station. They'll help you out. But if you do business nationally through a website, a brand, or a call center, Free Talk Live ads are 66% off until April 16th. I can't give you the rates here, but I can tell you the packages are as low as $500. We're on 170-plus stations. We do endorsements. And we have a big old online audience. Contact Mark at freetalklive.com. We've never had a sale this big. Mark at freetalklive.com.
Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will, or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.